So, I'd like to introduce Kim, who's going to do tonight's teaching. God bless you, Kim. And we're looking forward to what God's got to say for you.
Okay, well, God bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And again, it's a great honour and a privilege to share. Last weekend, myself and Lawrence, we took a trip to the coast. It was here in England on Monday, was a bank holiday. So there was no work for myself. And we had a beautiful time. We got into the Word and we were sharing the Word with each other, and we had really great time. But on the Monday, we're travelling to, packing up, travelling to come home. And I have a bracelet, and it's not expensive. It was a gift from my daughter and my son-in-law. And it was just something that caught my eye when we were in Spain last year. And my daughter and son-in-law bought it for me. And I don't wear it very often because I don't want it to tarnish. But I took it away with me. And on that Monday morning, we're packing up and I put this bracelet on. And no sooner had I put it on, it fell off. And it was like God was saying to me, don't wear the bracelet. Well, anyway, I picked the bracelet up. And as we do, I put it back on and off we went. So we've packed the car up and we've driven about 20 minutes to the coast. And we're on the beach. Well, we actually were walking up the pier and we're sat. We had some cream tea, some scones and coffee. And I looked down and the bracelet's gone. And I said to Lawrence, do you know what? God told me not to put that bracelet on. I said, I've lost it. And Lawrence said to me, well, that's fine. Don't worry. We'll ask God to get the angels to find the bracelet and to put it in the car. And I sort of like looked at him with like a very quizzical face. Is like, really? And he said, yeah, anything's possible. He said, we ask God that the bracelet's found. And that he can get the angels to put it in the car for you. And it's a done deal. He said, don't forget we've been sharing on faith. He said, the bracelet's in the car. So I said, okay, bracelet's in the car. Anyway, we continued. I didn't let it ruin my day. We carried on and we spent a couple of hours on the beach. And we had glorious sunshine. It was about 30 degrees. It was beautiful. And we get back to the car, and I'd forgotten all about, you know, the bracelet being in the car, or get in the car, and we drive off, and we're sort of almost home, about an hour from home, and we pull over, and to, I don't know if you have it in America, but it's Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, and I said, well, I just want something very small. He said, but it's a beautiful day. He said, why don't you go and get the blanket from the car? He said, and we'll sit on the grass and have our KFC. So I said, okay. So I go to the boot of the car, and as I pull the blanket out, lo and behold, there's my bracelet. And I couldn't believe it. So I've got the blanket and I've got the bracelet, and I've gone to Lawrence, who sat on the grass, and I said, look what I've got. He said, see, I told you, anything is possible with God. So tonight I thought I would share angels or God's ministering spirits. So if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll take a look, because they're not redundant, by the way. You know, they're still in operation. And when we speak the word, they react to the word of God. And I'm going to show you exactly how it happens. So in Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he also hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said, Be at any time, thou art my son this day, have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the heirs of salvation are us. It's us today. So if we read verse 14 again, it says, Are they not all ministering spirits? The angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, to minister to us. In verse 2 it says, Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed. That earnest heed is to pay attention or apply oneself or adhere to the things which we have heard in the verse above, lest any time we should let them slip. That word slip is like carelessly pass by. We don't want to not use those angels. We don't want it to carelessly pass by. Verse 2, For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast or unmovable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, so a great a deliverance that comes from these ministering spirits? We don't want to neglect that. We want that to happen in our lives. And that only happens when we speak the word. It carries on to say, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and of gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. So, God has given us these ministering spirits, which are angels, that can come when we speak the word, and they can intervene, and they can be there for us. In this day and time, there is so much evil and turmoil that these angels are not being put to work, because people are so engulfed with the negatives, and these angels don't work when we speak negatives. They only work when we speak the positives of the word of God. If we turn to Psalms, the book of Psalms in 103, Psalms 103, and again, I want to read the whole chapter. It's only small. It's just so that you get a little bit of an understanding of what it's saying. Psalms 103, and in verse 1 it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, these ministering angels, these ministering spirits, are a benefit to us. Like we called on the angels to find the bracelet to put into the car. So, see, God can send these angels to work when we speak the word. And God didn't want me to lose that bracelet. It was precious to me. So God is going to send those angels to work because I wanted that bracelet back. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. What a great God he is. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And I'll tell you what, he'll still do the same for us today. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him or respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that respect him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. We're not perfect, we make mistakes, and he knows that. Verse 15, as for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that respect him or fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel. That word excel is strong or mighty in strength. And that strength is in ability, in force, in strength, in substance, in wealth, in power, that do his commandments. See, it's the angels that do God's commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, if I hold up the Bible, can you hear it?
No.
You can't, can you? So, when we read that again, hearkening unto the voice, it's the proclamation of us, his saints, that speak that word. You have to speak it out, and the angels respond to it. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. When we speak the word, the angels go to work. They only go to work with the word, God's word. When we speak that, they move. So we don't want to make them null and void. When we speak that word, when we shout it out with proclamation, then anything is possible. So, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you're feeling weak and you speak that word and you need angels, God will send them. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. My favourite, and I speak this a lot when I teach, Jeremiah 33:3, call on me, and I will answer thee, and God will send angels if you need them. Romans 10, let's have a look. Romans 10, this is beautiful, I love this. Romans 10. And in verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. those angels go to work when they hear the word of God. But obviously, if we hold our Bibles up, they don't hear anything. It has to be spoken on believing lips. Angels hearken to the word, and when we speak, they go to work. They want us to be healthy, wealthy, and successful. And they go to work on our behalf when we ask God to intervene. They don't go to work via the senses, but spiritually. So that word is quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we speak it, God's word comes to pass. I want to now go to Psalms 91. And it's funny how most of the scriptures that I'm going to today are in Psalms, and Psalms is very comforting, and it brings us it just shows us God's real heart. It really does. Psalms 91, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 6. Well, we're going to read right down to verse 16. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is powerful. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge or command over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And the ways could be in your journey of life, in your manner of life, in the path of your life. And I remember once somebody saying that they were in a bit of trouble, and they'd gone down this alley, and it was a blocked entrance, and they had no way out, and he had people chasing him. So he turns to face the enemy, and they had like sticks and, you know, metal rods, and he thought, I'm a goner here. And all of a sudden, the enemy, these people, just took one look at him and started to run away. And he couldn't understand. Like, there was him, just stood there with nothing. He was overpowered, or he could have been overpowered, by all these people. And he just didn't. And he's looking behind, and he can't see anything. And he's thinking, I don't understand. But he got to find out later, one of the guys that was ready to, like, give him a pounding, said, we couldn't touch you. He said, did you see all those people stood behind you? He said, like, we were a goner. Like, there might have been 20 of us, but there was like 60 of you. And he was like, but he must have called on God. God help me, I'm in trouble here. And God sent His angels to protect him. So anytime you feel afraid, just read Psalms 91 and just remember what God will protect you from. Because He never wants one of His kids to be hurt. We don't panic. We don't fear. We call on God. God, help me. And as soon as you say that, those angels start alarming like somebody's in trouble, and they go to work on your behalf. And sometimes you may not see it. You really might not see what's going on. I remember driving out of my village one day, and I've done this journey a million times, I really have. And as you go out the village, it's a very narrow, windy road, and not far from our house we have an industrial estate. So these like massive lorries, I think you call them like what do they call in America? Juggernauts?
Yeah, big trucks.
They have like 18 wheels. I mean, they're huge. So what they've done is they've raised our curbs. So if the lorries tap the curb, they won't mount the pavement. Well, if a car taps the curb,
it's in trouble.
It will rip the bottom of the car off because these curbs are quite high. So I'm driving out of the village one day, and as I'm dropping down the hill, there's a car coming towards me, and all of a sudden, this car, other car, comes out from behind that car and starts driving head on towards me. And there's no gap, there's nowhere for me to go. So I grip the steering wheel and I close my eyes and I say, God help me. I had seconds before this car hit me full on, and I was doing about 50, 60 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, as I gripped that wheel and I said, God help me, I closed my eyes waiting for the impact. And it was just a short space of time, maybe 20, 30 seconds. And I've opened my eyes and the whole car and me is actually on the grass verge, and the engine is in neutral.
The gear stick
is in neutral, and the engine's off, and I'm just sat there. And I was blown away. Well, I was shaking like a leaf. And I've rung Lawrence, and I said, you're never going to guess what happened, love. I said, and I explained what happened. And he said, my love, you called out for God, and his angels has picked that car up, and he's placed you on the side of the grass to keep you safe. And do you know what? From that day forward, I have never, ever disbelieved in angels being there. When we call on God to help us, he sends any kind of force that he can to protect his kids. It absolutely blew my cookie. And do you know what? For days and weeks afterwards, I was sharing this with everyone because I couldn't get my head round. My car was absolutely perfect. There was nothing ripped out from the bottom. It was just like the car had been picked up off the ground and just placed a few yards into safety. And I would always wonder whether the car that was passing me and the one that was coming towards me ever saw this car go up in the air and off to the side, because it must have blown their cookie as well, because he was heading for me with a great force and God truly protected me. So in verse 11 it says, for he shall give his angels charge or command over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In other words, no harm will come to you. They shall bear thee up in their hands. And that just reminds me of that day. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And in this case, it was that the car hit the curb and it didn't. So he kept us safe. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation, my deliverance. Absolutely phenomenal, Psalms 91. So we know that we can call on God for our protection. And whatever situation we are in, we don't have to be fearful. We just speak the word in the situation, and God can send angels to come and to go to work for us. Angels are there to protect us. They're God's way of showing you that he cares for us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. He'll never keep us in a situation that we cannot get out of. God's love for his children are far beyond anything we could ever comprehend. And we never have to be fearful. Even down to the bracelet being in the car. You know, that bracelet meant something to me. And I'm sure that if sometimes we don't even know that angels go to work, you know. I remember a young girl that was in Norway. She wrote a beautiful song on it, actually. But, you know, she was over here in England with her friend, and she was crossing the road, and our roads are on different sides to they are.
Drive
in,
on the left.
Yeah, we drive on the left-hand side. So, and it's the same in Norway, actually. They drive on the right-hand side. So she's crossing the road, and she's not looked the right way. And as she stepped out, this car is coming towards her, and her friend has screamed out because she can see she's going to get hit by this car. And all of a sudden, she's back next to her friend, and she thought her friend had pulled her back. And her friend said, "I never touched you." And we realised after she shared her testimony in that, that it was angels that actually picked her up and brought her back to the curb. Else, again, she could have been seriously hurt. So, you know, these angels, and I mean, there's loads of testimonies where angels have gone to work on behalf of God and saved our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're awesome testimonies. And don't think that, you know, God is a respecter of persons, because he's not. Because what he'll do for one, he'll do for all. We just have to call on him, you know. And maybe it was like when I was in the car, it was a split second, but I said, "Oh God, help me." That's all I could say. That's all I had time to say. And God done it. And in Psalms 91 and in verse 16, it says, "With long life will I satisfy him." See, it's he adds time to our lives. I mean, that really... That would have been a very serious accident when I was coming out of Pocket Church that day. But he's given me long life. And I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, my deliverance was over 20 odd years ago now when I got born again. When I believed Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it was actually through my husband that shared the word with me. But you know, God has never ever left me or forsaken me. And even when he woke Lawrence... and told him when I was ill that it wasn't unto death. You know, there are times when we go through real darkness in our lives and we don't see a way out. But God always knows the way out. And we just have to be faithful and just stand by him and know that he's going to come through. You know, as I said earlier, there's a lot of evil and a lot of turmoil in this world. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And we never ever neglect that the word of God, that God won't come through in these situations. And don't forget that you've also got Christ in you, which is your hope and glory. And that you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you can call on God. And they will send their angels if you need them. I want to finish off in Hebrews. If you turn to the book of Hebrews. And, you know, we never have to be fearful in this day and time. And no matter the situations that we go through, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. And that the word has everything pertaining unto life and godliness. So whatever it is you are going through, you know, you can just find it in the scriptures. And you just call it out. As Lawrence ministered earlier, he told it to go. You know, we're not to put up with sickness, we're not to put up with disease, we're not to put up with pain, you know, we're not to put up with poverty, and we're not to put up with you know, any mental attacks or the way that the adversary, whichever way the adversary attacks your life. You don't put up with it. You search the scriptures for the scripture that goes with your situation, and you keep confessing it. Lawrence has shared a lot lately on faith. You know, he's done his seminar on faith, and I really do encourage you to go through that, because you know, in our day and time, we have nothing to fear, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, we don't actually see the results right now, but it's there, and when we claim it and we make it our own, then it comes to pass. So I want to finish off in Hebrews chapter 13. And it says in verse 2, Well, let's do verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, we never know when there's angels in our vicinity. We never know if we're entertaining angels unawares. But if we let that brotherly love continue, you know, God will always make us the head and not the tail. So I want to say thank you and God bless you all.
Well, that was really great, Kim. And, you know, the ministry of angels is very powerful. And sometimes we can forget that. That if you think that all through the Bible, that God has used his angels to help his people. Like, you know, with the children of Israel were at war, God sent his angels to help them out. When Lot was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent his angels there to get them out of there, as well as rain the stuff down on Sodom and Gomorrah. If we think about angels going to Daniel. Gabriel went to Daniel. Michael fought off Satan while he went there to give Daniel his answer. If we think of Peter, Paul, when they were in the prison at separate times, angels come there as well. We think of Jacob. Is it Jacob who also wrestled with an angel? And so God is, you know, when we speak God's word, then the angels respond to his word and they go to work. Now, we don't know how God does all the things, how he delivers us, whether it's angels involved or not. Sometimes it is, maybe sometimes it isn't. But God is.
And it's not our business to know that.
Yeah, and it's not our business to know that. But to be aware that God is not limited in anything. Jesus Christ could have called on 12 legions of angels, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, angels are still at work today. It's not that we don't pray to angels.
No.
We pray to God, but we're aware of their, you know, that they can deliver the message, they can deliver us, they can protect. If you think, you know, they can also bring judgment as well, like with Balaam and his ass and, you know, these type of things. So this is something to consider and to work the word yourself. I know that some of the, like in Psalms where it says messenger, it could be translated, it could be also for us as also being the messengers, but it's also in the context of angels if you look at the words. And so a lot of people get funny on the subject of this, but they need to be, it needs to be mentioned. We need to recognize that when we're gathered together, who's going to gather us together to meet the Lord in the air? Angels. So, you know, God's angels are not redundant, they're at work. It's not that we pray to them, it's not that we worship them or anything like that, but we're to be aware of their that they, God uses them to minister for us and to help us out of situations. And I just want to share one little testimony just to elaborate more on what Kim was saying, that what I heard, a testimony, there's a couple of testimonies I could share with you. One was when I was 5 years old. I was on a train ride with my brother, and for some unknown reason to me, I was very disobedient, and we was in a carriage of this train. The train's doing 40 to 50 miles an hour, and I'm 5 or 6 at the time, and I went to the door and I opened the door as it was going. My brother stood up back in fear and he said, come away from the door. And I stepped out of the train as it was going that speed, and all I can remember was it was an experience of floating, and that was it. Then my next thought was I was waking up in the hospital being pushed towards a lift crying for my mum. And but in the meantime, what had happened was that apparently we were, it was pitch black outside. I can remember it being totally pitch black, but apparently I come off that train onto a platform and rolled at a lady's feet. But I can remember floating before I lost any consciousness. And my brother was in hospital for a week through shock, and I was out the very next day. They just kept me in overnight to observe me. So I know that angels, you know, must have been involved in that situation there. Some of it was involved in that situation, because I should have been under the train, especially at the speed it was going. And so that was one. And the other one was someone gave a testimony where they had some debt and they couldn't pay their debt. And so they managed to get some money together and go to the bank to pay some of this debt off. And as they went, she went to the cashier and said, oh, I've come to pay this debt, but it's only some of it. And when the lady put the details into the computer, she said, hold on a minute. She said, you paid this yesterday. You come in yesterday and paid this whole thing. And she said, no, I didn't. She goes, yes, you did. Look, you don't owe us nothing. I can remember you actually coming in. And so that was another testimony of somebody else's that I've heard. And there's many more testimonies. So, again, it's something for you to consider, to work, go to the Word yourself and work it. But I thought it was great encouragement. So bless your hearts and thank you, everyone, for joining us.